Someday I'll do that just for fun. For everyone that didn't hear it the first time. But Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. And we've said this, we started kind of a little series, I guess, on some of the different psalms. And we said this Sunday mornings. I'm just going to go through my little introduction for those that weren't here Sunday morning or whatever. And so, but anyways, in the book of Ephesians, Paul is giving some warnings and instructions near the end here and to the church in Ephesus, and he includes this piece of advice that we should speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make melody in our heart to God. And specifically, he said, he mentioned psalms. And that word there in the Greek, it's referring to actually the book of Psalms. And they were literally spiritual songs written by different psalmists who wrote them, and that's how written works, and wrote them, and they were sung by most of Israel throughout history and still today, and a lot of them have been adapted to songs that we sing in church. And I told you before about how I was in Bible quizzing. The first thing we ever learned, the first year I was in quizzing, was psalms. We didn't do all of them, but we did a good chunk of them, and a lot of them were not too difficult to remember because there were songs. And we used to sing them growing up. So I knew it was probably an easy kind of introduction to Bible quizzing. But there's something about singing psalms or songs. There's a power to singing that changes our attitudes and things. And sometimes we can sing things that keep our attitudes bad, if we like. There's all kinds of music that goes along with that. But the book of Psalms, contrary to popular belief, David wasn't, like we said, he wasn't the only one that wrote Psalms. He wrote about half of them. Solomon wrote a couple. Moses wrote one. Some guy named He-Man wrote one. Ethan wrote one. Asaph wrote 12. Sons of Korah wrote 11. And then, again, the rest were written by that scholar we all know and love, Anonymous. And it was the Israel song book. We'll get to a psalm here. It's the shortest one, so this is a spoiler, so I gotta have a long introduction to fill the time. Right. But it's worth noting or mentioning that we kind of read through them, but they were written, a lot of them, for specific things and purposes. There's a group of them that were called the Songs of Ascent, and they would sing those as they came from wherever they lived on their way to Jerusalem. These are the songs they would sing. And there's psalms that were sung by priests when they were going up the steps to the temple. And there's psalms that were sung, there's psalms of lament, there's psalms of repentance. There's all sorts of different psalms. And, you know, we've said that whatever you're going through in life, you can probably find one that relates to that. And so since the book's so big, we've only kind of been focusing on the last third, so 101:50. And I said this morning, but it shocked me so much, I'll say it again, that all my life I was led to believe that Psalms was the biggest book in the Bible. And I learned this week that it is not true, and I was deceived. And so were some of you. But if you go by words, Jeremiah was the longest with 33,002 words, followed by Genesis with 32:46. And then Psalms is 30,147 words in the Hebrew, if you're interested in that. And there are 150 in both the longest and shortest chapters of the Bible can be found in Psalms. 119 we did this morning, not all of it, but just a part of it. And tonight we're going to do the shortest one, 117. But there was a time in Israel's history when they found themselves in a strange land, and they were in unfamiliar surroundings and circumstances. And these are things that we've probably, maybe not the strange land thing, but the last few years we've gone through some strange circumstances, and everything has kind of seemed a little bit odd and weird. And in Israel, when they found themselves in Babylon, they hung up their lyres which is an instrument. It wasn't liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. He didn't hang them up that way. They hung up their lyres, which was like a harp sort of instrument, and they stopped singing. Psalm 137 and 2 says, on the willows there we hung up our lyres. And they let their surroundings, they let what was happening in their lives stop them from praising God. They just kind of gave up, and they just put their instruments up, and they said, we're not doing it anymore. And I guess the purpose of this little series, or tonight's message anyway, is to encourage you to keep praising God no matter what, to keep singing, and don't hang up your harps or your lyres. Don't stop living for God or let your circumstances rob you from being in His presence, because life will throw things at us, and a lot of times it will hurt, and we'll find ourselves in places that we never expected, much like Israel. But we can't allow life to steal our praise. We can't allow what's happening at home or work or in our family or in our health to steal our praise. And so this morning we touched a little bit on the longest psalm. We did 1/22nd of it, whatever that is, percentage wise. We did that. And so this evening we're going to go through Psalm 117. And I say go through, but I mean it's only two verses. So before we get into it, just a little bit of information, and then we'll get preaching. I know we all love this backstory stuff. Psalm 117, again, is the shortest chapter in the Bible. If you were to open your Bible to the very middle, they would be Psalm 117. It's the very center of the Bible. There are some versions of the Bible that have it listed as Psalm 116. So if you ever find one of those old ones, different languages, you might be confused. I know in French, you know what, the beginning is, the Psalm of David. In French, that's verse 1. So I've preached from Psalms in French, and I had to make sure I had the right verse, because they're all off. Doesn't really matter, but that's sometimes it's 116. In the original Hebrew, it's only 16 words. I know people like to pick on new songs and say it's the same thing over and over, but Psalm 117, some of the old ones are too. Come on now, let's be honest. Some of these hymns, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. That's it. You don't need a whole lot. It's the whole song.
Amen.
Sing it over and over. Anyways, moving on. Martin Luther wrote 36 pages about this song. I did not. But there's a Jewish prayer called Hallel, which is a verbatim recitation of six psalms in order. Psalm 113 to 118, of which 117 is included. It was recited by Jewish people on specific holidays as a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Specifically, it was recited or sung during the three big festivals: Passover, Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks, connected to Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. So these three major feasts, these six psalms would be sung. These hymns would be sung. And during the Last Supper, which took place when? During the Passover. Jesus with his disciples in Matthew 26 and 30, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So what Jesus and his disciples most likely sang was these six psalms. It was most likely the Hallel, because that's the time of year it was. And so this simple little psalm may have been something that Jesus decided to sing with his disciples, knowing where he was going and knowing that he'd be crucified. And I think that's pretty interesting stuff. And so one of the things I think, again, like I said before, we often forget when we read the book of Psalms is that these are lyrics and they are actual songs, and they were sung by congregations and people, by priests and by families. And I had a video once of somebody, a Jewish choir, singing this, but I forgot to put it on for you. Would have been cool, but anyways. Psalm 117, it says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Let's read it in another one just to spice it up a bit. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples, for great is His steadfast love toward us, And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. There's a couple of words that are different there, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But there, we're going to split this into two sections, which is about all we can split it into. So verse by verse. The first verse, Psalm 117 and 1, there's a call to praise that goes forth. And this short psalm starts off with a call for praise. And this call is a bit different than most calls for praise we'll find in the book of Psalms. Usually the psalmists are calling for Israel to praise, the people of God to praise, for Israel to worship her God. But this one's a little bit different. He says, praise the Lord, all nations. Everyone in this psalm is being called to praise God. This isn't a psalm that's just about the nation of Israel, which makes it a little bit more interesting. You would think that Jesus, this was maybe one of the psalms that he sung before he went to the cross. But this isn't just about Israel. This isn't about this group or that group. And as people, we like to, for whatever reason, we like to break people up into groups. We like to divide ourselves, even in church. We'll send the kids downstairs. We'll have youth ministries. We'll have, sometimes there'll be married couples events. We'll have men's things and ladies' things and whatever. If there's different cultures, we'll have a Bible study with that culture or whatever. Different outreaches geared towards specific groups. And all that's good. You know, I understand why different groups have unique needs and circumstances. I understand that. But one thing we all have in common is the call to praise God. And this psalm implies that we are all doing this together. We are all being called to praise, everyone, all nations. This psalm is part of a prayer. It was a prayer that was prayed, a psalm that was sung by the entire nation of Israel during the three major feasts, as part of their hymnal. And they were very much, Israel was very much us versus them. Israel versus the world, our God versus your gods. But yet here in this psalm, in the middle of this, God is reminding them that this is bigger than just Israel. This is bigger than just our little group. He's showing his heart that God, as John wrote, so loved the world, not just one group of people. And he's pointing to the promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis 12. It said, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And for the most part, the nation of Israel looked at the Gentiles with prejudice. We see this in the New Testament. It's still going on. But in this psalm, God is reminding them that his mercy and his grace wasn't just for Israel. It was for all people. It was for all nations. And the same can be said today. There is no room for prejudice in the presence of God. We are all called to praise him. All peoples from all over, from every background and every language and every nation, every province, every state, every city, town, or village is all called to praise God. Every age group, every class of society, whatever way you want to divide people up, everyone is called to praise God. And since this is part of the Hallel Psalms, which was sung at Passover, and Jesus most likely sang it during the Last Supper with his disciples, we know that and can be assured that on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus had all mankind on his mind, all peoples. And through his work on the cross and through his resurrection, God would call the people to himself from all nations, from all over. The disciple or the apostle John, during his revelation, when he sees heaven, he describes the people that he sees as this: and I looked, and behold, a great multitude, and no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And John has this vision of all people, all nations, every tribe, every language, all crying out praise to God together. And that's what this is about. We're all called to praise, and God is looking for a people who will praise Him. And the call has gone out to all nations. It says, praise the Lord. The English Standard says, extol Him, all people. Praise and extol here means to laud, which means to say praiseworthy things about a person. It doesn't mean just absent-mindedly praise Him. It means to think about what it is that He's done, who He is, the things that make Him praiseworthy. The writer will give us a couple of reasons in the next verse as to why we should, in case for whatever reason you couldn't come up with any on your own. But there are a lot of reasons to praise Him. Some people, trying to be all intellectual, have tried to argue that the all peoples is only referring to the Jewish peoples, as in the Jewish people in all nations. Because that's what we like to do sometimes, isn't it? Like to try to make the word fit our ideas. No, nobody here. Ah, no. Clearly it means something different, even though it says very obviously what this means. All obviously means some. Clearly. But we do that sometimes. We like to pick and choose. Oh, this is good. You know, I only have to obey this part of the Bible. The rest, I don't need to do that. I need to do this. I don't need to do that, you know. Love my enemies. That's too hard. I'm going to do with some of the other things, you know. I'll take the healings, and I'll take that, and I'll... You know, I'll do that. But no, nobody else. Nobody does that. But Paul, in the book of Romans, he quotes this song to support the Gentiles being part of the church. It says Romans 15, 9 to 11. It says, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again, it rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. This is the one He's talking about. And let all the peoples extol Him. So we're all called, wherever we're from. People suggest different tribes and cultures and groups, probably within the nations. Even in Nova Scotia, we have many different cultures. We've got First Nations, we've got Acadian, we've got the valley versus the city. That's very different.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then you go past the city, and then you get the weirdos out there. Those guys, Cape Breton, that's wild. They're almost like Newfoundland, some of them.
Praise the Lord.
And then if you go out, South Shore is completely different. There's all, you know, we got, this isn't a big province. We got, they're not weirdos, I'm just joking. Then we got people that have moved here from other places. The great COVID migration. Everybody coming from Ontario and out west and whatever. Nova Scotia is home to over 100 different cultures and ethnicities from around the world. There's people here from all over the place. We've had some visit from Nigeria, from Jamaica. We had somebody, I can't remember, Poland, I think they were from. It's kind of coming through. We've had people come from different places. And so not only is the call to praise Him for different nations, but it's also specific to each group within the nation. Praise Him, all nations. Well, that's easy. All we have to do is get 250 or so people, split them up, put them one in each nation, and just praise the Lord. There we go. We got her covered. But every group, all peoples, this makes it, this is a sort of a missionary type psalm, if you will. The call to praise is for everyone, everyone you meet, everyone you come across. It's called to praise God. We're called to praise Him no matter where we come from, no matter what our background is, or all the things we use to separate each other, no matter what language we speak, or wherever we're from. All those things are the very things that God is using to call us to praise Him. Praise the Lord. The second verse gives us some reasons for praise. Again, in case you couldn't come up with any. He says, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." So the English Standard has a little bit different. It says, "For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endureth forever." So one version says merciful kindness. Another version says a steadfast love. And all other ones are kind of have a mix of the two. Those are kind of the two ways it goes. And in this instance, they kind of mean the same thing. He shows his steadfast love through his merciful kindness. We praise him because he doesn't change. That's what steadfast means. He loves us the same today as he did yesterday and as he's going to tomorrow. And he shows that love through his merciful kindness. God is kind to us. He gives us mercy when we don't deserve it. He loves us, and that never changes. And the psalm writer says, not only does he have merciful kindness or steadfast love for us, but it is great toward us. Now, to us, great means something like better than or large or a bigger version or a better version of something. But here in this context, great means strong or mighty or it prevails. His merciful kindness or his steadfast love is strong toward us. It is mighty toward us. It prevails toward us. Over what? Over sin, over Satan, over hell. And what does Paul say about the love of Jesus? Again, back to Romans, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." His love is great toward us. There is nothing that can overcome it. There is nothing that can come against it. There is nothing that can separate us from him and his love. He said, "I am persuaded." Are we persuaded today of that? Are we convinced of that? Do we believe that nothing can separate us from his love? It is great toward us. Death, life, you know, no physical realm can separate us from his love. Angels or principalities or powers, no spiritual force can separate us from his love. Nothing present, nothing in the future. The past, we know, has been covered by his blood. Height, depth, any direction we could go, no matter how high or how low we go, nothing can separate us from his love. David even said in another psalm, "I could make my bed in hell or Sheol, and you'd still be there." So when you can't think of a reason to praise God, we can praise him because he loves us. We can praise him because nothing can separate us from that love. We can praise him because of his mercy. We can praise him because of his kindness. It is great toward us. Who is the us? All the nations, all the people that have been praising, that are called to praise. And the psalm ends with a reminder. The King James Version says, "The truth of the Lord endureth forever." The English Standard says, "His faithfulness endures forever." And they come obviously from the same Hebrew word. It means firmness, faithfulness, or truth. So each version took its own definition from it, but we praise him because his truth lasts forever. His truth doesn't change. The word of God we talked about this morning, it doesn't change. His faithfulness also doesn't change. It endures. Whatever you try to do to it, whatever the world tries to do to the truth, the world's trying to twist the truth. Basic things. They're trying to, that's not how it is anymore. This is how this is. And they're trying to pervert the truth. Whatever the world tries to do to undermine the truth or undermine the faithfulness of God, it is still going to endure. It will last. There is nothing that can come against the truth or the faithfulness of God. In a world where things change so quickly, morals and ideas change so rapidly. I can't even keep track of it. Changing so fast. Things that we never thought would even could change are changing. Basic things that everybody knows. No, that's not how it is. Things change so quickly, but God's truth never changes. It endures forever. His faithfulness endures. It's solid. There's nothing that can shake it. It does not change. And so we can praise Him. We can praise Him. Whatever we're facing today, whatever we're going through, whatever's happening in our lives, we can praise Him. Even if things around you are changing, even if things around you are shifting, we can still praise Him, because He's not changing. His truth endures forever. His faithfulness endures forever. He is the same. His love is the same. His truth is the same. His faithfulness is the same. His mercy is the same. His kindness is the same. In a world full of disappointments and inconsistencies, we can praise God for His consistency. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And that is a good thing.
Hallelujah.
And everything around us is just changing, and life changes so quickly. God is the same.
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can praise Him for that, for His consistency and His faithfulness. Psalm 119, and we're going to go back there, I guess. Verse 90 says, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. And in another Psalm 103, it says, But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Verse 18, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. I just want to talk about the faithfulness of God as we end this. I think sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around how faithful God is and what that means. Our lives aren't very long. When you're young, it feels like they're going forever, and then the older you get, the shorter it seems. It doesn't last forever. And we witness unfaithfulness almost on a regular basis, especially in our self-centered society. People will say one thing and do another. Marriage vows are broken every day. People get tossed away for the next thing. But the faithfulness of God, the Bible says, is to all generations. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. His righteousness to children's children just keeps going. God wasn't just faithful to the Apostle Paul. He's faithful to us. He wasn't just faithful to David. He's faithful to us. He wasn't just faithful to men of God like Brother Mann or Brother Dickinson or whatever. He's faithful to my kids as well. He's faithful. He wasn't just faithful to the select to Abraham. He's faithful to us. His faithfulness is forever. God cannot be unfaithful.
Amen.
That's who He is.
Right.
He's faithful no matter what happens.
Right.
Yeah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the very definition of steadiness. He never changes. God is the one who sets the bar for what faithfulness is.
Yeah.
He established the earth, and it's still here. And the psalm writer said, that is faithful. His mercy is everlasting to anyone who follows Him. We will see, you know, there's a consistent theme throughout the Bible, through Psalms, and songs about the faithfulness of God. It runs through everything that He does. It never ends. His faithfulness lasts longer than the storm. It lasts longer than wars. It lasts longer than heartache. It lasts longer than every trial or valley we go through, or battle, every false accusation, every rumor, whatever we face. His faithfulness endures. It goes through it. When it looks good or it looks bad, He's still faithful. He's with us. We're in the valley, we're in the mountain, we're experiencing times of joy or sorrow, blessing and devastation. His faithfulness endures. God is faithful.
Amen.
That song we sang earlier, All My Life You've Been Faithful. First time I heard that, it was one of those Sometimes you hear a song and it's like, I've known this song my whole life, but it was only written like 2 years ago. It was just one of those, it's just like, this is the song that I've been waiting for. All my life he's been faithful. I can praise him because no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, I know you love me only, you haven't gone through anything, you're just a young pup or whatever, but there's things that I've gone through that just shook me and rocked my world. Losing a father as a young child, that's a hard thing to deal with. Things our church went through, there are hard things to deal with. Accusations that have been said, not from you guys, don't worry, that I know of anyway. Attacks, things that I've, and through it, God's been faithful. He doesn't always make it all go away, but he walks with us through it.
Amen.
And that means more to me than just some genie that just makes things go away. Oh, I don't like this. Take it away. That's, he walks with us through it. He goes with us through every valley, through every trial, through every storm. He's with us. He's faithful. His faithfulness endures from generation to generation. So the songwriter said we can praise him because of that. It's not a long song. It's the shortest one.
Amen.
It lets us know that we can praise him. His truth endures, his faithfulness endures. No matter what we face, he's there and he doesn't change. So I can always praise him. I can always praise. Things might not be the best, but I can praise him for his faithfulness. Life might be a mess, but I can praise him for his faithfulness. Because it's the same, it doesn't change. So we're just gonna praise him tonight. So we're gonna sing a song. It's an easy altar call. I wonder if we can just praise him for his faithfulness. Praise him for his steadfast love, his kindness toward us. That endures, that no matter what happens, it's thrown at it, it stays the same. I'm gonna sing a song. Yeah, I'm gonna stop yakking, but why don't we just praise him together tonight? He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.